My guest at this time is Ed Whalen. He is president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. He has also held key positions on Capitol Hill and in the Justice Department. And Ed clerked for the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Today we want his reaction to President Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland to replace Scalia on the high court. And Ed, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Garland, as you certainly know, and many of our listeners now know, is the chief judge on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. You have said both today and when he was under consideration for a vacancy 6 years ago that Garland was about as good of a pick as conservatives could expect from Obama, but that he would still move the court decidedly leftward. What's your reaction to Obama actually nominating Garland?
Well, I think it's an interesting political pick. I was actually expecting that the White House was going to take a different approach. But again, at the risk of engaging in the soft bigotry of low expectations, I do think that that Judge Garland is about the best one could hope for from this president. Now, that doesn't mean that Republicans should act at all, much less confirm. But I do want to emphasize that that Merrick Garland is a remarkably intelligent, very decent man, and he deserves to be treated with respect in the process.
Now, and some folks going back and looking at his opinions, he's been on the D.C. Circuit for almost two decades, tough on crime in a lot of ways, but largely believed to be soft on guns, given his approach to the Heller case several years ago. What else do we know about his track record?
Well, you know, I think he's gotten credit for working well with his colleagues on a court that had been fairly divisive. You know, I think in all respects he comes across as a you know, very standard liberal. Again, one of very, very high ability. But you know, have in mind that the particular cases that come up before any lower court with Supreme Court precedent guiding them are not going to be. Not going to provide the clearest indication of anything, really. The New York Times actually has an interesting graphic today, you know, predicting that Merrick Garland would end up slightly to the left of Elena Kagan and would consolidate a five-justice liberal majority that makes the court more liberal than it's been in 50 years. And I think that's basically right. And that's why, you know, despite my deep respect for him, I think this is a seat that needs to remain vacant through the election. I think Senate Republicans have drawn entirely the right line. And, you know, if the American people choose to, you know, ratify the direction in which Merrick Garland would take the court, they have the opportunity to do that in November. And, you know, the Senate could act on his nomination after that if it chose to. But I think the proper action here is to maintain the line that the Republicans have voiced from the outset of the vacancy.
Ed, you mentioned you found Obama actually choosing to nominate Garland as intriguing. Do you see the pick more as an ideological one, a political one, a mix of both? What do you think might be behind this?
Oh, I think it's deeply political. Look, the White House, if it had its druthers, if it had a Senate Democratic majority, would have gone, I think, with someone who is much more aggressively left-wing to excite the base, among other things. But that said, I think that what we see from the record of the last 20, 30 years is that anyone who is presented as a moderate, as Ruth Bader Ginsburg was back in 1993, you know, ends up becoming a solid member of the liberal majority. And I see nothing in Judge Garland's record, much as I, again, respect him, to think that it would be any different with him.
What did you make of the liberal groups today reacting, some of them quite negatively? And it seemed like, in addition to wishing he was more liberal, they were upset that the demographics of Judge Garland weren't different. They were upset that he was 63. They were upset that he's a white male. Is that to be expected at this point, or did that take you by surprise at all?
Oh, sure. I mean, if you take the left diversity perspective, you would say that we already have one white male heterosexual Midwesterner who went to Harvard College and Harvard Law School, who clerked for Judge Friendly, then clerked on the Supreme Court, worked in the Justice Department, and served on the D.C. Circuit. That's, of course, the resume of John Roberts as well. And why do we need a second person with that profile? So, you know, I think many on the left would rather have had someone who is more aggressively leftist and someone who scores diversity points.
Let's talk about the strategy. You've referenced it a couple of times now from what the Republican Senate leadership and members ought to do. Mitch McConnell today, Chuck Grassley today, is saying that nothing has changed just because there's a name attached to this nomination. Now they say there will be no hearing. It's an election year. We're in the midst of a heated campaign, and the voters ought to have a say come November as to the complexion of the court come early next year. But some Republicans, particularly those who are facing some tough reelection fights, are saying that at least to be willing to meet with Judge Garland. Mark Kirk thinks the process should play out, and you've got senators like Kelly Ayotte, Jim Inhofe, Jeff Flake, and Susan Collins who say they would at least meet with him in person. How tough is this going to be for Republicans to keep this plan together, or are we just kind of seeing the a few people here who might be getting a little wobbly?
Oh, I don't think it'll be difficult to keep together. Look, meeting with a judge is a trivial step for an individual senator to take. I don't think that's going to reflect any cracking of the coalition. And sure, there are one or two or three senators who, for their own purposes, will have to call for a hearing. But the key is that Senators McConnell and Grassley and the other members of the Judiciary Committee stay strong. And if that's the case, there won't be a hearing. There won't be a floor vote. You know, this will be something that's revisited either after the election or after next January when we have a new president.
Obviously, a lot of senators, especially in the leadership, are not huge fans of Donald Trump. And at this point, he would be the odds-on favorite, although he's certainly not a guarantee to be the Republican nominee. Does the likelihood of him coming into the GOP nomination change the calculus at all?
Not at all. Look, you know, I have no particular confidence that Donald Trump would make strong nominations to the Supreme Court, but the chance that he would appoint a conservative is far higher than the chance that President Obama or a President Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders would. So there's no significant downside to letting this play out.
Ed, when it comes to the Garland nomination, we've talked about how Obama's got this potential strategy right now by presenting someone a little more moderate than he might have been expected to nominate and potentially to make the Senate Republicans look bad for not taking up such a nomination. At the same time, though, as we referenced a moment ago, a lot of the liberal rank and file not happy with this nomination. So going forward, is this now less of an effective campaign issue for Hillary Clinton if the base is not as enthused as they might otherwise have been?
My own take is that that is how it will play out. I think with March Madness and the baseball season coming up and the presidential primary still going on, I think that this issue, this vacancy, is going to recede significantly. Now, you know, maybe I'm wrong on the politics of it, but I'm a little surprised that the White House chose to play it this way.
Well, we'll certainly keep watching. Ed, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Ed Whalen is the president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center here in Washington. He's held key positions on Capitol Hill and the Justice Department, and he was a clerk for the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.